So I have to tell you all the story. I called Pat this morning and told him I have to tell you this story. So my wife passed away on July the 10th, and we had this amazing service on the 18th, and a lot of y'all were there. And thank you for the food and just the prayers and everything. It's been truly amazing. It's been amazing. So I got four kids, and my youngest boy, Cameron, and I, we play golf together. We don't just play, we compete with one another. And he lets me know when he wins, which is frequent. So anyway, we played. Okay, yeah. So we played golf, my son and I, who do this pretty frequently. And of course, he wants to help his dad, who's grieving the loss of his wife. So we played last Wednesday, and this is kind of a sad story, but bear with me. And there's some details, so bear with me. So we played last Wednesday at Tennyson, and I drove my car over there and parked on the street where I usually park and got my bag out of the car where I usually get it out, set it down on the ground, and I took all my belongings, like I always do, my credit cards and so forth, and I put them in this little bag on my golf bag. It doesn't have a zipper on it. It's just got a little flap over it, including my wedding ring. My wedding ring. So that was in the golf bag, and so you got to hear where the golf bag went. So I then took the golf bag over to the driving range and hit a bunch of golf balls, and then that's where I took my wedding ring off and put it in there. Then I took it back over to the other side of the street to the golf course where we put it on a cart and we played 18 holes of golf, and then I carried it back to my car, and I reached in my golf bag to get my keys out to open the car, and I couldn't. My ring was gone, you know. So I looked all around the golf bag. I set it up in the car. I looked in the car where I thought it would be, not there. So then I walked over to where I'd hit golf balls, and I looked all around there, and I freaked out some poor lady who was there with her son hitting golf balls, and I'm looking all around. Then I went back to the golf course and went to the pro shop and looked there, and I just decided I lost it. So it wasn't expensive. I thought I'll just go buy another one. That's a relatively inexpensive. So a couple hundred dollars. It was a James Avery. So I thought, I want to keep wearing it. You know, it means a lot to me. It really speaks of Christy to me. And so that afternoon I decided, I'm just not satisfied with this. I got to go back. I don't want to, give up on it. So I go back to the golf course. I go through the whole rigmarole again. I go hither and thither. Then I go home, I remembered that we were in cart number 99. So I went and found cart number 99. No wedding ring. So I went back home. I took my golf bag. I dumped it out. Grass, dirt, and whatever. No wedding ring. This was Wednesday. Okay, last Wednesday. So I said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to find it. So Friday, I was supposed to go work out, and I work out with this trainer, and I had it in my phone that I was supposed to be there at 8:15. And I got there, and he said, no, man, it's supposed to be 9:45. You got an hour and a half to wait. So I thought, I'm going to give it one more shot. So I got in the car, and I would never have done it if I hadn't had that hour and a half. And I went back, and I parked along the street where I park. And I thought, there's just a possibility. There's a ridiculous possibility that it rolled out on the ground where I parked the car. It's the most popular place out there. It's right next to the, everything. And there was no car parked there, which is weird. So I was able to park there, and I got out, and I walked about 3 feet, and this was lying on the asphalt this far away from the curb on the ground. And I just walked along, and I was like, you've got to be kidding. There's no way. So it was my wife. Now, that's only half the story, but I found my ring, and I was just super elated. Can you believe that? I mean, if you think about the likelihood or the odds that something like that's going to happen, there must have been, I'll bet you there were 100 people who walked back and forth across there over that three-day period, you know, and didn't go, hey, isn't that a look at that, you know? So none of that happened. It's amazing to me that it was there. Amazing. I had a picture of it, but my printer's out of ink, so I couldn't show you. But if you looked at the picture, you'd like, I don't know about that. Really? There it was. So that's half the story. So I don't know if y'all that weren't at the memorial service, one of the things I said about Christy is that she just kind of emanated the Lord. She was just kind of like a perfume. It was almost like, you know, Chanel No. 5. That was kind of how she, it was just something that was innate to her personality and just, sorry. anyway, so that was how she was. It was just something that was her presence. I loved what Pete said this morning about presence, because that was very real to who she was. So anyway, I'm looking at my ring on my finger, and I'm like, this is fantastic. But now I got 40 minutes I got to kill before I go do my workout. So what I'm going to do is go practice on the putting green. So I go up on the putting green, and it's as big as this room. It's 100 feet long, maybe longer, and it's 50 feet wide or something like that. And you know what a putting green is. It has four or five places where you putt. And there are two or three people, no women, on the putting green. And I get out there and I'm putting, and I was doing this little Phil Mickelson thing where you putt the same 3 feet all the way around this hole. And I'm not kidding you, all of a sudden I got this whiff of perfume that was so strong, I went, what? What was that? And of course there was nobody there. Now look, I'm not one of these, you know, Jesus spoke to me through the, you know, parking lot. That's not me. I'm a lawyer. I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm very logical in the way there's no logical explanation. Unless a guy 50 feet away was using Chanel No. 5 as his cologne, there's no explanation for this. It was amazing. And I didn't even get it. I mean, I thought, that's weird. And then I took my putter and putted a couple of times, and then I was like, whoa. I just felt and feel like the Lord was saying to me that and it was really not that Christy was there. I mean, I don't know what, it was a strong smell of perfume. And I just felt like it was a tremendous encouragement. It was him saying, and I'm not supposed to say this, but I read the notes and I know what the story's about today. The Lord knows my heart. There's not another human being on earth that would put those two things together and would have done that and found that ring and smelled that smell and gotten the blessing that I got out of that. And I almost didn't get it because it was so unique to who I was. And then I realized that it was the Lord saying, I love you. So that's my story. Thank you.
Well, between Brady's story and Steve Williamson singing How Great Thou Art, not much I can add to all that today. So thank you, Brady, and we really appreciate just your willingness to come and share the story, because that does multiply the blessing for all of us. Did everybody get a handout? We may be a little few. Robert, if you could make sure everybody did, I'd appreciate that. We're going to look at Psalm 139 over the next 3 weeks and really take an in-depth look at this and apply it in several different ways. And yet, I will be honest, and you see on the back page of the notes that all 3 weeks, we're going to look at one section and then the last. We'll look at the middle section and then the last, and then we'll tie it all up on the third week. And so, let's start out here. Let me just read all of verses 1 through 6 to us, and then we'll unpack this. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I would hope for all of us that this passage is encouraging, that it's something that we would want to embrace. I would hope that it doesn't feel scary to you, that it's kind of like, ugh, that doesn't, I'm not sure I feel too good about that. But let's look at this in a little bit more depth. And so I've highlighted some words here. It says, O Lord, you have searched. And you'll see down there I put in the Greek word for that, the Hebrew word for that. And it can be search, but I also like it where it's search out, examine, investigate. Okay? And y'all are going to see here why Brady's story was so poignant. The first part of it is because if you know Brady's personality, you would not be the least bit surprised that he went to the extent that he did. And that's a part of him that I appreciate, and it's a part that I would have probably given up way before that, okay? But the correlation here is how the Lord, in this particular case, as it's written, you searched me. You took a look. You examined me on the inside and the outside, and you known me. We get into that word, you've known me. And it's kind of like, wow, how do y'all feel about that? How do you feel that a holy God here, that he is stating, you have searched me and you've known me? And for many of us in here today, my fear would be that we have a tendency to look at this and we go, I'm not sure that I want him to see what's in there. That I'm a little bit hesitant to think about that. That we might think that he searched me and known me, and now I'm sitting out on the curb. Okay? Because it's like, if he searched me and he really knows me, he would have no reason to allow me into his presence. He would see things within me that he would say, you're kidding, right? You profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you think these things. You know, I've come to know you. It's not just that I have been able to sit in your Sunday school class and see you present to everybody like you've got your act all together. I've seen you in all situations, okay? And I know you. But then he goes on even a little bit further here, and he says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar, okay? Well, again, that sounds like, So you pretty much can see everything. So you're like the granny cam now, or you're like the cameras, the security cameras that we have everywhere. Everywhere I go, I just assume I'm on camera somewhere. Don't you all? Okay. I don't think there's a camera in here, but there may be. Okay. I know that many of you have the access of filming me right now. Okay. But, you know, to know that when I sit down and when I rise up, he knows all about that. Okay? Well, again, there would be times where I'm okay with that. And especially here where I present, you know, what I want y'all to think of me, all these kind of things. But probably wouldn't want of you to see when I was trying to push my door open and the hinge on it, it always just keeps rocking back until I finally, poof, you know, and I'm like, okay, that's really smart, okay? But, you know, I got so frustrated, I kicked the door, you know, and it's kind of like, again, that's on the caddy, yeah, okay? And so I could tell you all a lot worse stories about that. I could tell you judgments that I've had of people. I could tell you thoughts that I've had. And so it's safe for me to tell you kicking the door, but there's worse ones than that. And it's kind of like, oh, he knows all that. He's not blind to any of that. Because then it says, and you discern my thoughts from afar. It's like, uh-oh, I'm not sure I like that. I'm not sure I want to be that well known by him, because in my mind, I keep saying this, that if he has all this data on me, I'm toast. I'm on the curb, as I said. He couldn't possibly continue to want to welcome me in like this. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. What do y'all think of that? What big word does that, what big theological word would that be? Yeah, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that. He even knows the very word that's going to come out of my mouth before I speak it. Sometimes I don't know what that word's going to be, okay? All right, but he knows it all together. And then verse 5, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Okay, so if we look at the Greek word here, excuse me, I keep saying that, the Hebrew word here for hem me in, to bind, besiege, confine, cramp, those don't really give quite the right understanding of this. But to hem me in, do y'all think that's a good thing that he's saying here? Okay, Suzanne says no. I kind of think it is, okay? Yeah, no. It doesn't sound quite right, and that's why I want to make sure that we're seeing this for what it is, that we're able to go, wow, he hems me in before and behind. There's a beautiful thing that happened to me one time. Peter Tippin might have been there, but when I lived in Colorado, you got a question?
I have a comment. Finish your story.
Okay, thank you. All right. That we had a fighter pilot that was in our church. And so one time I was going to teach on the rear guard. He's our rear guard. And he gave the most phenomenal, kind of like what I asked for Brady to do. Bruce came up and spoke on what it means militarily to be the rear guard. And it was powerful, about how that pilot was covering everything from behind, making sure that everything in front was secure. Well, then you have the planes that are in front that are doing the exact same thing, so that the plane in the middle is hemmed in. It's covered. It's protected. It's secure. And so he hems us in some good ways. It feels maybe, when we see this, it sounds limiting, but it's got a beautiful picture around it, okay? And therefore, we have the protection, but it's also, we could use the word blessing, but it's also the ability to know we're safe in that sense. Okay, take off. Yes.
And they were led by the pillar of fire.
Thank you.
And it was, in some days when they needed protection, they would leave behind.
Yes.
Behind them to protect them from Egypt, and also leave them in front.
Love that. Thank you. That's a great comment, and you all know they're always welcome, okay? So I realize I jumped over verse 3 in that note, so forgive me for that. Verse 3 just says, you search, which it's not the same Greek word here. Hebrew word, y'all can tell I normally teach out of the New Testament, okay? You search, it's kind of a different word meaning scrutinize. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. And the word there actually means you are intimately acquainted with my ways. Not just you're acquainted, oh yeah, I get that, but you know it deeply. You know what my ways are, okay? Which a lot of husbands and wives that are in here, I know the McMahons have got 50 years on them, that you know Mike's ways, don't you? You know, they're all good. Yeah. She's intimately acquainted. She knows it's kind of like, okay, here's what's going to be predictable behavior, because I am so much aware of what that is. I've seen it over and over and over again. And so we have that picture there. We're intimately acquainted with all my ways. So even that, my knows my path and my lying down, knows my ways. All right. So I've done a lot of talking here, which I normally want to engage more than this. So let me just get to here the question, which would be before us, that you see that I've written down here. David's responses to verses 1 through 5 is found in verse 6. And so it says there, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." What's your response to verses 1 through 5? When y'all read that, Carolyn? Okay. Yes.
They don't know me. They don't get me or whatever.
Okay.
So I look at that, and my response is, like, David, such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
Okay.
You search me. You know me.
Yes.
That's comforting.
It is comforting. Okay. I love hearing that. Okay. Randy? Yes. Yes.
That's not always comforting, though.
Okay.
Because there's that fear, being kind of seen.
Yes.
And not feeling like that version of Randy is the one that I want to see.
Yes, thank you. So what I hear getting into there is that little bit. It's one thing to be known. It's another thing to be known and to be loved or accepted. Okay? And so what we're seeing here, though, is that, as Randy just said, feels a little awkward, but the statement is we're known there, and that's a good thing. Okay, where else do you go with that, Lainey?
I just see the progression, and as you said at the start, what Randy said about it, you can't be just scary. You think someone knows you or loves you, and you really want that to be
right. Yes.
Oh, this knowledge is so wonderful for me, I can't attain it.
Yes.
I just see David progressing down from what might be hard to accept to accepting knowledge.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Let me build on that just a little bit, because she pointed out just one thing that I think is very important is, does this passage ever give us an incredible view of who God is and how magnificent he is in the sense that he knows these things? And we're going to find out more as we read through this, you know, where verse 13, "For you formed me in my inward parts." You know, I mean, we're going to see how intricately and how intimately connected he is. But who is it that can possibly know all these things about us? Only the one who is far greater than us, only the creator in that sense. Okay, Linda? Okay, let me get to Linda, and then it's Bonnie. Is that right?
Emma,
I'm sorry. Okay. Yes.
He was out. He saw God's stars and all his creation and how huge God was. And yet, he knew that God knew him.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Isn't that incredible?
Awesome.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, Emily? Yes. Love that. Yes, thank you. We want to build up. Let me get to John, then I'll come back to you, okay? John?
But notice just in all six of these verses, it talks about knowledge, understanding, comprehension, and it's in the present tense.
Yes.
I mean, he's continually knows us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he knows us, okay, we're done.
Right.
He continually knows us. And I think Lainey's right. There's a tremendous progression to get to the point where, okay, you're omnipotent. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't attain it. And it goes back to what you always tell us about worship.
Mm.
He gets to the point where he realizes that he could never attain such knowledge.
Wow.
So complete and so perfect.
Love that. Thank you, John. Keith? Oh, good.
John Calvin said, how do we know God? Is it start with God or does it start with us?
Yes.
And you say, oh, of course he said, start with, he said, I don't know.
Yeah.
You would think, oh, John Calvin would say, oh, it starts with God.
Yeah.
But I think that's what he's saying here, because everything in here is God, his sense of, David's sense of God interacting with his life.
Yeah.
He says, that's how I know God.
Yes.
It is an experiential thing. Yeah, I mean, God makes himself known to us through his word. You know,
yes.
But it also is an experiential thing as he interacts with us through his word.
Love that. Okay, thank you. Brady?
Well, the thing that God would say really came home to me in the loss of my life, you know, this isn't just something that would happen in a terrible situation, but the sovereignty of God and knowing the difficulties of your circumstances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or a difficulty or a trial. What he said to me was, I'm still there.
Yeah.
In the middle of this really difficult circumstance for you. And what's so comforting about that is that if he's good and he's going to bless us,
yes.
But there are going to be trials in the way.
Right.
His blessing is still real.
Thank you.
That's
right. That's right. Yeah. Even when we're hemmed in, things can happen. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, JL, then I'm going to have to pick back up, but go ahead.
Well, God's omniscience is really incomprehensible.
Yes.
For us, but we have a grasp of it and understand that we have no means of the knowledge that he has. And what comes across to me in this is that the Bible says David was a man
after God's own heart.
After God's own heart.
Yes.
And he realized how much God could see into his heart.
Right.
And what it tells me is I search for God to help me know what's in my own heart like he knows.
Yes.
Because then you get into, you know, like in the book of James where it says, you know, you're double-minded.
Oh, yes.
So I can think about my own heart.
Right.
And yet know I have the doubts. And so I want to search for the knowledge of my own heart. Like
beautiful.
God has.
Okay. Love that. So if y'all think about kind of where we've gone, is we can talk about how it makes us feel for all these things, for him to know all these things. That puts us kind of in this awkward place. But then all of a sudden we turn it back around and say, well, what does that say about him? How awesome and how mighty he is and how incredible he is. And we can use a lot of big theological words, but, you know, I want to come back and pull out the word there that in verse 3, intimately acquainted with all our ways. And that's kind of where the relationship is that we always want to make sure we tie back into, is that we're talking about an intimate relationship that's here. It's why I can turn to the McMahons and say after 50 years, she knows Mike's patterns and behaviors, because why? There's an intimate relationship that's there. And so it's like, wow, is that a good thing? Or is that an awkward thing? Hopefully it's one that brings us a deep sense of peace, because we're talking about the creator of the universe that we have this relationship with. And we're looking at this because this is what I do love about it. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I'm afraid that sometimes we may say, such knowledge is too scary to me. It is high, I cannot attain it. That could be said in a very pessimistic way. Well, I'll never understand that. I think where he goes is exactly with what John was saying. It just caused him to go upward and into the, you know, kind of a position of worship. This is what he knows. This is who he is. He knows me this way and still has a relationship with me. That's true for every one of us in here who are professing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have time. Let's turn over to the end of Psalm 139. And now he's actually extending what sounds to me like an invitation back. And we're like, I don't think this is necessary. But look what he says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I have to say, that's courageous. Okay? For him to be willing to request that, to invite that in. Okay? Melanie, you're not the only, or no, who was it today? Miners, is that right? There's turned out there's a lot more visitors in here today, first timers. So I want to welcome all of you. And the reason I say that is because 2 weeks ago in here, I announced that I was engaged to Emily. Okay. So I've been 14 years living under a roof basically by myself. Okay. And this is, I think this is humorous, not inappropriate, okay? When I was in college, I lived with...
You should leave them.
That's right. When I was in college, I lived with a guy named Greg Lafitte. And many of you in here know Greg. And Greg always made a habit of making fun of my thoroughly and completely worn out boxers, okay? And the reason why is because, Tim, I'm not quite like you, but I'm pretty darn cheap, okay? Yeah. And I'm going to wear something out before I'm going to throw it away, okay? And so this is the humbling part. I was looking at my boxers last night, and I thought, I'm not sure I want Emily to see me in these boxes. Okay. True confession. Well, okay. That's right. Okay, sorry. All right. Okay, let me reel this in. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mary Catherine, you're going to go back to London on us or wherever you were. Okay. The reason I say that is because for 14 years, I've not worried about being seen. Okay. And so, you know, there's things I do in my household that I don't care. I don't have to because I'm not worried about somebody, a roommate or a spouse or a child, seeing me. And so it's really caused me, as I started thinking through this, which is kind of like, so, you know, you think about bringing someone into your life who's now going to see you on a different level. And it's big. And it's kind of like, I don't think I'm just going to be on my P's and Q's all the time, but I probably am going to get some new boxers, okay? All right? But here's my real point. If I believe what we've already talked about in here is that I'm seeing so much more deeply than that. And here I am worried about boxers when it's kind of like, yeah, I've already seen everything. And the part that I want y'all to know is he's inviting this. Search me, please. Because if there's anything in here that is not pleasing and honoring to you, if there's anything that keeps me from not experiencing all the freedom that is mine in Christ Jesus, if there's anything that I have somehow neglected to see or have been disobedient or rebellious to, whatever, search me, O God. Reveal that to me. Know my heart. Not just know me, but know my heart. Because why? Because that's the root of where everything begins to emanate out of.
I think you better let a bunch of us come over to your house and look at
You're welcome to. All right. But then he goes on and says, try me, examine me, and know my thoughts. He's inviting this in. And the word there is actually anxious thoughts. All right. And we just did an amazing 6-week study here on fear and worry, on the whole topic of anxiety. And man, I'm telling you, before the study, I didn't think I had any issues with fear and worry. And once I began to describe some of the behaviors that the book we used, I began to go, yeah, there's more there than I realized. I think that's true for all of us. And the question is, would you be willing to say to a holy God, try me and know my anxious thoughts. Reveal those to me. But instead, we want to say, well, wait a minute, that's a little too intimate. Because I've kind of got control over my anxious thoughts because I'm fighting for control all the time. But then he goes on and says, and see if there be any grievous or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, this is kind of where I want to land the plane for us today. And I hope I can do this well. My job here at the church is predominantly, it's not what I do 40 hours a week. I do it 20, 25 hours a week. This last week was about 30 of individual or couples counseling. People come to me, and I greet them. Typically, they'll sit on the couch. I'll shut the door. And if it's their first time there, I'll say to them, my desire is to make this room the safest place that there is in the whole church for you. Because I know that only if they feel safe will they be willing to tell me about things that needs to be discussed, that needs to come out. Only if they feel safe will they answer my question without being evasive or defensive. And they'll say to me, wow, you're exactly right. Let me tell you about something. And they'll begin to tell me stories that then by God's grace, I can begin to sometimes connect the dots and see some things that I think allows for transformation to take place. And so in one small way, it's a little bit like they give me the privilege, they give me a flashlight that I can shine around in their life or maybe in their heart and see some dark places that we go, I think we need to take a look at that. And I see some of the most courageous people around, and it blows me away. And not too long ago, I had the privilege of spending time with a couple that they were in bad shape. And when I was in Colorado, we used to do things called intensives. And I wish that I could build that back into my schedule here, where 3 hours on a Friday night, 6 or 8 hours on a Saturday, 3 or 6 hours on a Sunday. What takes place in that time period is amazing. The reason I tell you that is the courage that it takes for somebody to be willing to say, I need help. And I need someone to look inside of me. And hopefully somebody that's led and directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, let me try to make the transition back here for us. That's what David is doing right here. He is showing supreme confidence in the safety of going before a holy God and saying, search me and know me and try me and see if there's any ways within me, my thoughts, and see if there's anything grievous. Because what he's actually saying at the same time is there may be some behavior that I've been labeling as totally appropriate and biblical, and it looks good on the outside, but what underneath it is a motivation that is so messed up that God would just say, no, let's set you free from that. And so we're going to keep coming back to this passage after we look at the next 2 weeks, the passages that you'll see as part two and part three. My hope and prayer is, not that you'll call me up and say, hey, I need a counseling appointment with you. My hope and prayer is that you will go home before a holy God and pray this prayer to him and pray it with supreme sensitivity and sincerity. Dave?
Share a personal story that kind of exactly what you're saying.
Speak up a little bit.
So several months ago, I was thinking of this very passage, praying in the morning that God would reveal my sins to me. That evening, Betsy and I are out walking, as we often do, and some subject came up, I don't know what it was, but she was pointing out to me that I hadn't behaved properly. And my normal way would be to react negatively, and the thing would spiral out of control.
Yeah.
We'd end up kind of at each other's throats, you know, before the walk was over.
Yeah.
This time, fortunately, I collected myself, and I told her about the prayer, and I said, I should have known it.
It's just that good.
Thank you, brother. I think that's the truth. If we pray this prayer, let's be prepared for him to show us some things, and let's welcome it, and let's not have it create enmity between spouses or roommates or whoever it may be, or whoever the Lord may use as a truth teller to you, but just also be aware of when you're reading scripture to see if the Lord doesn't penetrate your heart in a way, that he doesn't take out a flashlight and shine it in the dark recess of your heart, out of the depth of his love for you. Not because he's cruel, mean, or anything else, but out of his love for you, the desire for you to see things in, and then let him come in and do the work. Close us off, Brady.
Well, I just want to say, one thing that came to me when Christian died, his process is, if that person's gone, you don't have anybody to tell you that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Think about that and you apply it to God. He already knows these things.
Yeah.
Who can you ask that doesn't know them better?
Yes. Beautiful.
He's there. And if you don't ask him, he won't show it. He may show you anyway.
Yeah.
But it's better to ask him and open yourself up to what he can tell you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Mike?
To tie in with what he's saying, and, what you've been talking about in teaching is what to me the word abide.
Yes.
Is. So you're trusting the Lord and letting him show you. But to Brady's point, I think we should all go to two or three people that we trust and give them the permission to speak to us and say that, you know, I'm relying on the Lord to use you to tell me things.
Yes.
So I love that.
I love that. Okay. I don't need anybody else come up and tell me the boxer example was inappropriate. Okay.
Trust me, try me, prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if a blessing, unmeasured blessing, I'll not pour out on thee.
Mm.
And I want to make the point that we had an unmeasured blessing poured out on us this morning by your brother-in-law.
Amen to that. Thank you.
I just want him to know how.
Thank you. Thank you. Love hearing that. So, okay, let me close this in prayer. Lord Jesus, I do thank you that collectively we can come together and study your word and we can wrestle with it and we can be reminded of who you are and we can be comforting to one another and we can be speaking the truth to one another. We can just rest in you, O Lord. And I pray that this week, that when we reflect back on the first five verses, that we would be overwhelmed with joy and with worship. And it's in the name of Jesus, our Savior, that we pray. Amen.